Welcome to Lydia's Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, February 27th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to call in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room by listening online at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, for the introduction. I mean, Michelle is sick tonight. She's been sick for a couple of days. She's a trooper, so thanks to my lovely wife for doing the intro tonight. And right now, I am solo. We are trayless. So Jonathan's supposed to call in a few minutes to go over some baseball. Sonny's going to call in. So everybody, brace yourself. We have a lot to talk about tonight. I hope everybody had a great week so far. We only have a couple of days left. Sonny, welcome in the chat room. The couch potato is in the chat room. So Sunday night we were on. We had a real good show, actually, a good turnout. The live listeners weren't as much as what usually goes, but, you know, the archive listeners, very successful. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We have a lot to talk about tonight. And, you know, we're not even going to waste time. Call the number 646-716-5564, and we're going to start in the NFL, and I'm going to bring Jonathan in the show. How's everything going, Jonathan?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Brian?
Oh, doing good. How's your week been?
Well, it's been pretty good. Just got off of work. Celebrate my birthday tomorrow. So, I call it a rousing success.
Yeah, happy birthday, and hopefully I'll remember tomorrow. It's crazy, so if I don't remember, happy birthday, Jonathan. And, hey, man, in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers have agreed to trade Alex Smith to Kansas City. Your thoughts?
Well, I looked at the trade, and to be honest with you, it reminds me a lot of Matt Castle, that kind of deal. And this deal hinges, I mean, the deal's not finalized till March 12th, which, you know, that's when the NFL allows trades to go through. That's when their new year begins. So it'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs do in between now and then with Matt Castle, or if another team like the Arizona Cardinals tries to step in and offers a better deal.
Well, you're talking about Matt Castle right now. I mean, looking at, he's got a big contract, but looking at Arizona, and I know people disagree with me, you know, some people don't, but Jonathan, I think this is a very good move for Kansas City. It gives them some stability at the quarterback position that they haven't had in so long I can't remember. And it gives them a player that, I mean, one of the top, you know, he's a top 10, 15 quarterback when he's healthy. So a big upgrade for Kansas City. I mean, look at who they've had. Who do they have? Kyle Orton, I believe, didn't they? Or Brady Quinn? Castle, I mean, these quarterbacks are terrible. And now they have someone that can actually get the job done. I mean, look at San Francisco. I mean, he's no phenomenal top five quarterback, but he knows how to win. And that's something you can't put a price on.
They haven't had a reliable quarterback since Trent Green, and that was with Priest Holmes and Tony Gonzalez, Nick Vermeil. So, and it'll be nice to have some stability. I honestly doubt the Cardinals jump in because, let's be honest, that's two games a year where the defense knows what Alex Smith is going to do. So it's a great move for Kansas City to get themselves not a franchise quarterback, but a quarterback that can do the here and now and can take care of everything they need.
So looking at Kansas City, Jonathan, and let's just pretend that this was last year, and we have Alex Smith suited up in a Kansas City uniform. Give me their record with a full season of Alex Smith healthy with Kansas City last year. What do you think their record would have been?
Oh, geez. I might be going out on a limb here, but I'd say they have a better season than they did last year.
Definitely.
You know, I don't think it'd be outlandish to say with the talent they had with Jamal Charles and with Eric Berry coming back, you have Dwayne Bowe. I don't think it'd be outlandish to say that Kansas City could have easily had seven, eight wins, if not more. I mean, their offense was terrible. I mean, they were worse than the league in scoring. They had 211 points. You know, and, I mean, that's just downright terrible. I think they definitely wouldn't have been in last place. Got to give Kansas City some credit. They have a great amount of talent there. It just, you know, you can't win games with Matt Castle, Brady Quinn, and Kyle Orton. That's just a fact of life. Ask the Bears about Kyle Orton. Or the Broncos. I mean, ask the Browns about Brady Quinn. They just couldn't get it done. And let's face it, Matt Castle was in a perfect situation in New England. So.
Well, Sonny says 7-9 in the chat room. Sonny says they would have gone 7-9. And hey, I want to run some numbers. I'm looking at ESPN, and this is astonishing. If you look at Alex Smith over the last couple of seasons, and you look compare his numbers to the Chief quarterbacks, and those Chief quarterbacks, Matt Castle, Kyle Orton, Brady Quinn, and Tyler Falco, win-loss 19-5-1 for Alex Smith, 9-23 for the Chiefs. Completion percentage 64.3, 57.7 for the Chiefs. But look at this. Touchdowns to interception, 30-10 for Alex Smith, 21-38 for Kansas City. That's 28 more interceptions. I mean, my God. That number just floors me when I see it. But if you look at that, though, seriously, this is a serious, huge upgrade for the Kansas City Chiefs. And one question for everybody out there and you, Jonathan. Is Kansas City a playoff contender now with Alex Smith? If they have a good draft and get some people that can come in and play immediately.
Well, all right, let's be honest for a second with ourselves. Their defense isn't as bad as the numbers say, because their defense was just on the field for, you know, 40 minutes of a game. So if they retain Dwayne Bowe, and let's say, you know, for some reason in a perfect world, all their starters can remain healthy, you know, or relatively healthy for the season. I mean, nobody's 100%. I think Kansas City, if they go out and they have a great draft and maybe they sign a free agent or two, they could easily contend for a playoff. But I'm not saying they're going to knock Denver down, but I'd say they're the second-best team in the division by far. By far. Oakland's a couple years away. It seemed like Oakland was getting there, and they threw that away. Reggie McKenzie really threw that away rather quickly. San Diego seems to be in that downtrending slide, especially with loudmouth Phillip Rivers. So I think Kansas City could easily 10 wins. There you go, 10 wins. I'm going to say right now Kansas City wins between 8 and 10.
Oh, that's about right. I'm saying 9 or 10 maybe. But look, did they give up too much for this? And I'm saying no. But they gave up. They're trading their second-round pick in this draft, the second selection, which is the second – what is that, the second selection, number 34 overall in the round, as well as the mid-round pick in 2014, which this now gives San Francisco 15 picks in this year's draft. So did Kansas City give up too much to get this?
Well, Tarvin, I know you've looked at the quarterbacks in this draft, and I'm going to ask a simple question. Would you draft any of those bums with a second-round pick right now?
No, I mean, honestly, the only one that could come close to that, you know, you might get Geno Smith or Barkley, but no, I would rather have an Alex Smith that's proven he can win in this league right now because they have talent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so what we're saying is that second-round pick, you know, it just turned into a win. I mean, it's already a win as long as Alex Smith can stay healthy. Concussions are a tricky injury. They can linger or they can't. Also, Alex Smith is in a great system in San Francisco. Is Andy Reid going to give him the same system? Because Alex Smith is not McNabb, and that was Andy Reid's best quarterback. So can Andy Reid develop a system relying on, you know, making sure Charles runs the ball and gets his 1,500, and if they can retain Bo, getting Bo 90 catches a year, can they honestly? Get it done with Alex Smith? I mean, he's a proven commodity, but at the same time, are we going to see the same Alex Smith we saw for, what, the first 6 years of his career?
All right, Jonathan, I'm hearing there's some static on the line. So everybody listening right now in the chat room, let me know how you can hear me right now. I had to make some adjustments, so let me know if you can hear me good. I don't want to be staticky. She says I'm going trouble. Jonathan, stay right there. I'm going to hang up and call back in just in case. So keep talking.
All right, man. All right, guys. So talking about the West Coast system, you guys are. Turkey and Thanksgiving. I like y'all's comments in the chat room. That's cute. It's cute. It's cute. I mean, reparations. Hey, Lacey, it's me, Jonathan. What are you guys in the chat room? What are your guys' thoughts on Alex Smith? What do you think? What kind of system they're going to run? You know, do you all think Kansas City can contend for a playoff spot or not now?
Hey, Jonathan, I'm back. How can you hear me, and how can everyone in the chat room hear me? Hopefully it's better.
You sound 100% better.
All right, that's good. I just called back in. That cured it all. So sorry about the bad connection, guys. And honestly, I think most of the people, Jonathan, are going to come in and tell you that Kansas City could be a playoff contention now, because looking at them, they just missed that quarterback. They were just year after year, they just had a sucky quarterback. They had decent drafts, and they had some good talent around these guys. I mean, just no quarterback that could get anyone the ball. So who's going to be catching the ball this year from Alex Smith? They could step up and make a difference.
I will tell you right now, the X factor for Kansas City is Dexter McCluster, because he is that perfect underneath guy for everybody to use. I mean, he's perfect. Alex Smith loves the dink and dunk, because Alex Smith has proven he does not have the arm strength to go downfield. That's why they went to Colin Kaepernick. So Dexter McCluster, watch him to essentially go into a Wes Welker mode, and I'm not going to say he's the same talent, but he's going to ring in the catches. Dwayne Bowe stays. Dwayne Bowe makes a huge impact. They just cut Breston. They need to find themselves a three receiver. I see them using the draft, not their first round pick, maybe their third or fourth, grabbing a receiver so they can mold them. It's going to be very, very, very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, you don't need a big, you know, speedy receiver for this system they run. You just need a big physical receiver, someone that can catch the ball over the middle, get some short passes, and, you know, yards after contact is going to be huge. Yards after the catch, because that's exactly how he's successful. And that's your receiver. That's what you have to be in order to be successful.
Well, when it comes to a West Coast system, yak is always important. I mean, that's how Welker gets most of his yardage is yak. But here's the big question. Is Tony Moyaki going to have that same impact performance he had 2 years ago when he was a rookie? Is he going to come back and be ready to go this year? Or are they going to have to draft a tight end? Or you know, if San Francisco lets Delanie Walker walk, which I doubt. I really doubt Delanie Walker leaves San Fran. But let's say he does. Do you think Kansas City jumps for him? I mean, do you try and get as much San Francisco talent around Alex Smith as possible? You know, these are all questions for Andy Reid that are really big, big right now. Big issues. I think Andy Reid can handle it, though. I mean, he did in Philly. I got confidence in the man.
Okay. I mean, look at the offensive line of Kansas City and tell me what you think. Is it a good enough offensive line to keep Alex Smith healthy? Because he's not a running quarterback. He's not going to be able to run for his life a lot. So is that offensive line capable of keeping him healthy?
Well, I look at Kansas City's offensive line, and Brandon Albert is the first one that sticks out. He's a free agent this year. If Kansas City has a brand in their head, they'll re-sign him. That's a fact. So Brandon Albert is a solid tackle. They do need and he's a good left tackle. They're going to need a right tackle, and I don't know if we're going to bring back Eric Winston or not. That's still up for grabs. At guard, Ryan Loja, you know, he's not coming back. Hey, let's face it. Other than John Asimov, I don't think they have any guards. And Rodney Hudson, we're still not sure about him at center. I mean, you got to give Hudson credit. He's put on 30 pounds since he played at Florida State, but you know, is he really ready yet? It's going to be interesting to see. They definitely need to draft a guard. If I was Kansas City, I would go after Chance Warmack from Alabama.
Yeah, that's someone that could come in and possibly start immediately. Well, Jonathan, we're going to take a call real quick from Skype. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, it's Sonny. How you doing?
Sonny, what's up? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, this Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs thing, and Dwayne Bowe, and you know, I'm a fan of Alex Smith on what he's been able to do, but I'm just wondering, you know, for the last 3 years the Philadelphia Eagles haven't been jack squat, and why everybody think Andy Reid will be able to step into a team that went 2-14 last season, and all of a sudden make this team a playoff team? First of all, that's just not happening. I like Andy Reid, but he's not that good. Okay, you just got to see what he now. Is he good with young quarterbacks? Yeah, I guess if you want to call Donovan McNabb successful in the NFL, then I guess he's a success. I don't frankly think Donovan McNabb was the best thing out there since fruit punch. But here's one thing I think I'd be willing to say, and believe me, I've already had people say it. I think Alex Smith could be a better quarterback than Donovan McNabb in his prime. The reason being is if it has to be the right kind of coaching. And if Andy Reid figures out that you don't get this guy with the deep ball, continue doing what he did in San Francisco with some adjustments here and there, bring Dwayne Bowe in a little bit instead of being a deep threat, get him go across the middle, that's going to be huge. Grabbing up that offensive lineman with that first pick, if that is not done, that's a no-brain. After you sign Alex Smith, that's a no-brain pick. And if they don't go grab that dude, they're already going to be have a problem. The right move was, you know, I don't know what the right move was. Is he the right quarterback? Is he going to be a kind of guy that can get it done? It all depends on how well he meshes and gets with the chemistry of this football team. And immediately, I don't see it. I just don't. And I also think the AFC West is going to be a very competitive division this upcoming season. Never mind you got Denver sitting all over there. I think San Diego is going to take a huge step with the new regime over there and everything. Everybody's got a new attitude going into it, so maybe the players will too. Oakland never gets it right, so I don't know when they will ever will. But Kansas City, I'm not ready. Will they contend for a playoff spot? Contend, yes. If 8-8 is good enough to get them there, yes. If 7-9 can get them there, great. But if you're talking 10-6, 11-5, oh no, it's just not going to happen there. There's not going to be enough time to develop that chemistry.
Well, Sonny, I have, you know, to call Don McNabb not a successful quarterback, and I wasn't a huge fan of him since I'm a Bucs fan. I kind of got sick of McNabb beating us until 2002. But 59% completion percentage, 37,000 yards passing, 85.6 quarterback rating, and a 2-1 ratio touchdown to interceptions. McNabb was a successful quarterback. Also, the one thing we keep forgetting about the Eagles, and everybody actually needs to realize this, is that Jim Johnson was the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. When Jim Johnson passed away, they had no direction when it came to the defense. So that was a huge, huge, huge hit. And then they couldn't get a quarterback to succeed McNabb. Kevin Cobb was a waste. Vic couldn't stay healthy. I mean, you can't pin this all on Andy Reid. I mean, what could you have done? What could you have done with Nick Foles? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Nick Foles wasn't ready last year, and if Vic stayed healthy, Vic can't stay healthy. I mean, that's just an issue.
Well, you know, there's just a lot of bad personnel moves over in Philadelphia. Let's just be honest. And I think the big point that you made, I think, is huge. You know, Andy Reid needs someone who knows defense. I mean, he needs a guy that can step in there and be a defensive, not just a defensive coordinator, but a defensive monster. Jimmy John, that guy, I'm going to tell you right now, when that guy passed away, that really just ended every kind of success that defense was going to have. Just more than the fact is that guy is irreplaceable in reality. So he's definitely going to have to find a defensive coordinator in Kansas City, and he's going to have to find a damn good one. And I'm going to tell you a guy I think that should be give consideration, but he won't do it because he wants to be a head coach, Brian Billick. Brian Billick would be a wonderful pick as a defensive coordinator for this football team, but he won't take it because he wants to be a head coach.
Well, and I also want you to think of something. Being a Bucs fan, I dealt with this firsthand. Tony Dungy, okay, defensive coach. Tampa's offense was terrible, absolutely terrible when Dungy and Reigns. He went to Indianapolis, and he was handed the holy grail in Peyton Manning. I will tell you right now, you replace Peyton Manning with Brad Johnson in Indianapolis, and they still don't win the Super Bowl. Dungy was that good on defense. Andy Reid's an offensive coach. It's the same way. You know, you always need great assistants. In Indianapolis, you had Tom Moore for Dungy, and I think, you know, you could actually put out there that Andy Reid could go out and he could grab one of these, you know, young, smart defensive minds. He could even bring in a Romeo Crennel, who we both know is a good defensive coordinator. I mean, he could bring in people like that. So we don't know what Andy Reid's really going to do yet.
Yeah, I don't think the answer is Romeo Crennel. I like Romeo, but I think he might have a bad taste in his mouth regarding Kansas City, so that probably wouldn't happen. Take away from that, you know, as far as what I see in Kansas City, I see a team improving. I mean, I don't think they could do any worse unless they lose one or only win one football game. And Alex Smith at the quarterback position, I give him at least, you know, six. Yeah, I give him at least six wins just because he is getting better. And maybe he learned something from Jim Harbaugh. Maybe he can continue it with Andy Reid and stuff there. But back to the Donovan McNabb, I'm still not impressed. More so in the fact that, you know, I've never been a Donovan McNabb fan. The guy's got – I want to see the guy get over the hump. I wanted to see him win a Super Bowl, and I wanted to see him do it even later in his career when he's, all down, he's all set. He's a veteran. He should know how to do it done. He needs to lead his team. And I saw him drop the ball a couple times on that as far as I'm concerned. However, NFC Championship, you know what, four or five times? That, you know, I guess if you want to give him that, you got to give him that. But I've never thought of Donovan McNabb as one of the greatest quarterbacks, you know, to play the game or even Hall of Fame material.
Well, we forget that McNabb never had a number one receiver until they got the poisonous Terrell Owens. And if Kansas City can keep, I mean, imagine if McNabb had Dwayne Bowe, a go-to guy. I'm not saying he's going to chuck at him like Jay Cutler to Brandon Marshall, but
right.
A guy that he can go to when he has to. And I do have
dependable.
To correct myself. Bob Sutton is the new defensive coordinator in Kansas City. He was a graduate assistant under Bo Schembechler at Michigan. He was defensive coordinator at Western Michigan, Illinois, Army. He was Army's head coach from 91 to 99, and his NFL experience, he was linebackers coach and defensive coordinator for the Jets from 2000 to 2012.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some just one more thing. I think the fact they let Steve Breston go is a big mistake. I think Breston was just in a bad offense in order to help him. Steve Breston's going to be on a football team. I'm looking San Diego because Ken Whitsenhunt didn't want to get rid of him in the first place from Arizona. So watch for him to head on over to San Diego.
Well, Sonny, looking at Alex Smith, though, right now, what is the San Francisco, you know, looking at the team, all of his ex-teammates, what are their feelings? Have you heard about how they feel about this,
Brady,
Alex Smith leaving?
Well, let's be honest. You knew this was going to happen. I mean, they were trying to dump him off, you know. They were trying to get Peyton Manning. They made no bones about it. We're going after Peyton Manning. Forget Alex Smith. We're going after Peyton Manning. And rightfully so. They should have. And then after Colin Kaepernick came in and they didn't even let this guy in after he was healthy, you knew this guy was going to be gone next year. I mean, so, and that's exactly what ended up happening. How they feel about it, I don't think they care less. I'll be honest. I think San Francisco thinks that they can move on. But here's one thing they better do. They better find a backup quarterback for this football team. Colin Kaepernick, the way he runs the football and goes out of the pocket, you know, say what you want. I think that's just a recipe for disaster and injuries and missing football games. So they better have at least a backup plan at the quarterback position because you might see Colin Kaepernick miss a game or two next year.
Well, thank you for that, Sonny, because I wanted to talk about that. So who do they get? Do they draft someone to groom under him right now? Because he's not the most experienced quarterback anyway, and I don't really
right.
think he's gonna stay healthy. So who do you get to back him up? Do you get an old veteran or do you draft someone?
No, really, simple. I mean, you got guys that are out there that are good in the backup role. We can talk all day long about how Kevin Kolb's not a good starting quarterback, but when that guy stepped in over in Philadelphia as a backup quarterback, okay, that guy won football games. Okay, so if he knows his roles and shuts his mouth, as The Rock says, he'll go in there and do his job and make everybody happy about him. There's another guy that you can think all day long that, you know, Matt Flynn is not going to, you know, bring home the money here, okay? He's $5 million, and that's a fairly good amount to pay a backup. But, you know, I don't know Matt Flynn as a backup quarterback. I think he can handle the job. Starter, don't know. Just some of the guys that I'm thinking of off the top of my head that can end up going out there. And for all that matters, you do have a quarterback there right now. Not the greatest quarterback in the world, but you could use him as a backup as well. But Alex Smith has to be your starter, and you have to grab up at least some kind of experience as far as knowing how to win in certain situations, because that's what he'll be brought in. And then they're going to have to figure out a small, a different type of offense for that kind of person because they probably won't, because Alex Smith has got probably one of the best offenses to step in and be a pocket quarterback. So you'll probably see a pocket quarterback be the backup over in Kansas City.
Jonathan?
If I was San Francisco, with the wealth of draft picks they're going to have, I mean, my gosh, the number of draft picks they have is sickening. It is a dream to me. That's a dream. I would consider Zach Dysart. He's a quarterback out of Miami, Ohio, about 6'2.5", 215. He's essentially the same thing as Kaepernick, except he's a little shorter. If you want a replica to step in and be your offense, Zach Dysart's the way to go. If you do want Matt Flynn's not going to San Francisco, let me put that on the table now. Let's make that perfectly clear. Seattle will not trade Flynn to San Fran. Just like San Fran won't trade Alex Smith to Arizona. You don't do that within your division. This isn't baseball. This isn't hockey. All right. So you're going to look at them go out, and they're going to look at the guys who are going to be free agents, and they're going to take a stab at probably maybe a Matt Castle as a backup. I mean, he'll have to come really cheap, but a Castle or a Cowan, or, you know, if they still want to do it through the draft, you have guys you can grab late, like EJ Manuel. If you're lucky, you know, maybe they'll go get Glennon. Ryan Sibb from Syracuse, who's a pocket passer. Even he really wants to go to Buffalo to reunite with his head coach. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what San Fran does. But let's not write out Scott Tolzien yet. We haven't seen the boy play. He's from Wisconsin. Give him a little bit of time. Maybe Scott Tolzien's pretty good. We don't know. We haven't seen him play. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm not going to put all my chips in one area, though, you know?
I thought we were talking about the backup for Kansas City, not San Francisco, so that probably would be a little bit different. San Francisco, there's a guy that, you know, is over in San Diego that I think they should give some thought to, is Charlie Whitehurst, his backup over in San Diego. Charlie Whitehurst has been screwed out of a starting position in the NFL, so that means he's never going to get one, so he needs to be set and primed to be able to take over and as a backup. San Francisco may want to give a look over, you know, just a couple miles south there to grab up Charlie Whitehurst.
I love Charlie Whitehurst when he was at Clemson. I'm not going to take that stab. San Diego wanted to use him and didn't use him. Seattle wanted to use him and didn't use him. I'd say you let Charlie Whitehurst be Charlie Whitehurst and let him collect his check holding the clipboard.
Absolutely. Definitely a backup quarterback, not starting anywhere, but definitely a backup. I agree.
Hey guys, I want to change it just a little bit on this subject, but I want to stay in the NFL and Sonya's talking about the combine, and that's the next thing I want to get into real quick while I have Sonny on the phone too. So Sonny, Teo today, I think, or what is it, Monday, whenever he ran it, he finished, you know, like a 4.8 something. So tell me about Teo. I wanted to ask you about your opinion on him. Should he go in the first round? The guy's slower than dirt.
No. I don't think you should. And more on the fact, I'm not impressed. I think the more hype about this guy really, you know, makes me want to take a step back. And I'm not even talking about the nonsense about this internet girlfriend or whatever the hell it was. Who cares? This guy is not, he may be able to put on a show sometime, but I just don't see why a team would take that risk. I see this guy's going to slide into the second round, if not late into the second round. More so just because of what everybody's talking about. Now, there might be a team that has their eyes up on this guy. So someone taking a reach for the guy, maybe a little early. But if I was drafting, I don't know, first of all, if I have the guy, but if I was going to grab him up, I'd grab him up in the second round toward the middle to the end. But as far as first round, I don't think he's just that player.
Jonathan?
All right, so here's the great thing about Manti Te'o, and this is where this year is a very interesting draft, is that for some reason Mel Kiper Jr., don't listen to him, but he has the Bucks drafted him. It's not going to happen, okay? The Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens have big holes at middle linebacker right now, okay? Urlacher's pretty much done. I'm a big fan of Urlacher. My mom's side of the family's from Chicago, so I hold some love for the Bears. But Urlacher, I don't know if Te'o can be a replacement, but I know Chicago, if they can't get Ogletree, which I don't know how that DUI arrest is going to shake out for Ogletree, and I'm not sure how sold teams are from Minter from LSU. I am. I mean, the guy wrapped up 15-plus tackles, it seemed like, every game.
Yep.
But somebody like Chicago or Baltimore, you got to remember, Ray Lewis just retired. Okay? Manti Te'o's 40 time is 500th of a second faster than Terrell Suggs. And Terrell Suggs has gotten slower. So, would they be willing to put Manti Te'o in there? I mean, the whole fake girlfriend thing, what worries me about that with Te'o, okay, and a lot of people don't want to talk about it, it doesn't matter what happens on the football field. It does. If he's fooled by a fake girlfriend on the internet and doesn't even ask for nothing about it and lies about it, how is he going to react to a play action? Okay? How is he going to react to a reverse? How is he going to cover these misdirections?
It took me a second, but I got it.
A fake girl. I mean, come on now. And all these off-the-field issues, now he's a locker room. Now the locker room, how are the players going to treat him now? Okay? How is he going to be treated in that locker room? Is he going to be treated differently? I have a feeling his rookie hazing is going to be a lot harder than some other guys because of what he's already gone through. I wouldn't take the chance on Te'o unless I was in Baltimore situation and really, there's three linebackers, and if you can't get Ogletree, who I'm not sold on, and you can't get Minter, who I'm sold on, you're kind of stuck with Te'o. I mean, because you need a starter for this year, and you might as well take the leap of faith and pray it works.
I look at him, guys, and look, if you want to see how someone's going to do maybe in the NFL, look at them in college when they play a team that's full of NFL players almost. Look at Alabama in the national championship game. He was on the ground the entire game, missing tackles. He didn't know what it was. And everybody says, it was the delay in the time. Full crap. I mean, he was just overhyped all season long. I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's way overhyped, Sonny. If you do take him in the first round, you just pissed away a first-round pick. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think he'll go in the second. I think he'll go in the first, but I think it's a huge mistake, and he's not ready. If you watch that championship game, I've watched it a couple of times and just zeroed in on him to see how he did. And, guys, he was lost. He was a deer in headlights out there. And that's what everybody's looking at.
What John said about the Baltimore Ravens might be the right place for him, because if you don't think Ray Lewis is going to be somewhere around Baltimore – trying to mentor the next guy going in, I think we'd all have an illusion. Now, if the guy gets a studio job, then maybe not. However, if he's not sitting in a studio somewhere, Ray Lewis is going to be in. He will be. It's almost like he's an honorary coach or something. He will be there to try to mentor whoever's going to take his place. And I guess if you want to teach him, I'll give Ray Lewis that. Maybe he can mentor a kid to play the game. Obviously, don't do the way his way of life, but play the game. That might be the way. That might be the best way to get a Tao to turn around and become a good football player. He's gonna have to have good coaching, and if you got mediocre coaching in the secondary, it's gonna be huge. And just a team to keep your eyes and ears open for. Okay, and I throw this out here, okay, because I'll say it. I think one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL is sitting down in Houston with Wade Phillips. Okay, I don't know what it is about this guy. When he becomes a head coach, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But when he has defense and defense only, he makes teams better, obviously. Look what he did. And he makes players better. Hell, he brought Brady James in from Dallas, okay, and made him a good football player, okay? At least something you could talk about. So that being said, I mean, that might be a good learning place for him to go to, and that might be a good place for him to fall to, because Houston is going to – I forget what number they are on the picks, but I know it's down low. If they grab him up late in the first, that might be a place that he could end up as well, and he would get a good education of what he needs to do in the NFL.
Well, Sonny, Ray Lewis already signed a 3-year deal with ESPN to join the NFL Countdown. And also, you know, nobody really talks about this, but, you know, you have to realize these players have sons. And Ray Lewis's son, he's at the end of his high school career. He's getting ready to go to University of Miami. So I have a feeling he'll be spending more time at the U than he will at Hard Knocks, you know?
Probably.
So I think it's up to Terrell Suggs to take care of whoever they bring in, especially if it's Tao. But one thing we haven't talked about with Baltimore, and we can't ignore it right now, it's the elephant in the room. Baltimore is at the threshold for money without Flacco's contract, without Kruger's contract, without Ellerbee's contract, without Ed Reed, okay? So what is Baltimore going to do? I mean, Anquan Boldin said he will retire if he's released. So how is, A, Baltimore going to afford Flacco, or is Cleveland going to step in? Because, you know, Cleveland, they could do it. It's Cleveland with their $44 million in cap room. Could they come in and snag Flacco from Baltimore? And then how are they going to keep Kruger? And is Ed Reed going to go to New England like everybody thinks? I mean, if they lose Ed Reed, that's huge. So Baltimore is a team that I could see a huge decline next year. I mean, maybe even missing the playoffs, because Cincinnati is going to make it, especially with all the draft picks they have in the first two rounds. And Pittsburgh is going to be there, and we all know it. So,
yeah, Flacco ain't going nowhere. Okay, Flacco, and if Baltimore lets that guy go, they need to get their heads examined, okay? But that wouldn't surprise me, but Flacco ain't going nowhere. Now, Ed Reed, possibly go away. They're going to have to find somebody. Now, also remember, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles are willing to dump salary, dump players. There's some good football players over on that football team. They might be able to slide over to take over a little bit as far as that. Asamoah is a guy that's out there. But here's the thing about Baltimore. Baltimore's number one priority is get Joe Flacco, because let's be honest, in the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a Super Bowl caliber football team. That's just the way it is. You know, teams that are going into their season with crappy quarterbacks or mediocre quarterbacks at best, they're already telling their fans, we don't look forward to the Super Bowl. So if you get rid of Joe Flacco, You're telling your fans you're not interested in at least trying to get back to the Super Bowl.
Well, Joe Flacco's not an elite quarterback. His QBR for the regular season was 46.8, 0.8 ahead of Michael Vick. It was 24th in the NFL. You want to tell me that's elite?
I'll tell you that the W's make them elite. Look at that football team. Yes, they have a good defense, but this guy figures out a way to win. Sometimes it's not about the stats. It's about how they're going to win a football game. And when they're down got to figure out how to win, if they win, that makes you an elite quarterback. You can talk about stats all day long, but it's all about the W's,
then.
And the Baltimore Ravens had many of them.
Sonny, Trent Dofer, one.
Did we lose him?
No, I'm back. Trent Dilfer
won
a Super Bowl in Baltimore. You want to tell me Trent Dilfer's elite?
No. Whoa, hold on. Hold on. You want to look at the stats between Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco? They're not even a comparison. Joe Flacco's 500 times better than the guy ever was, okay? But I'm telling you right now, Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback, okay? The guy would not get $20 million. Anywhere he goes, he's going to get close to $20 mil. Okay, simple fact. And you're not getting $20 million unless you're elite quarterback. He is. He's elite quarterback. 5 years in a row, he went to the playoffs, starting from his rookie year. The guy knows how to win football games, okay? And sometimes that's all you need. If you want to maybe call him a second-level elite, you can go ahead and do so. But I'm going to tell you right now, Joe Flacco is no worse than the sixth-best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Well, if you're Baltimore, would you franchise Flacco if you had to?
Absolutely.
Would you?
Okay, I mean, because the NFL is all about quarterbacks. Okay, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not a good football team. Just that way. The Trent Dilfers of the world do not show their face every single year everywhere. Okay, you got franchise quarterbacks taking you to the Super Bowl. Okay, you know, Flacco's Dilfers of things like that, that doesn't happen very often. You're not going to see rookie quarterbacks getting you to the Super Bowl. They might get you to the playoffs in the second year. But Joe Flacco.
Mark Sanchez.
But you can say something about Mark Sanchez. Now, I don't know if he's not a good quarterback or if it's because of the system. And I think it's a combination of both. And if he had the right kind of coaching, I think he could be successful. However, that being said, he's obviously not there. When you make the playoffs and you make it every year that you've been in the league since for five, and I think actually this was the sixth year, one of the two. Either way, you know, and you win a Super Bowl, you're one play last year away from the Super Bowl, and 2 years before that, there are maybe a quarter away from. The guy's going to be the next best thing, and the Baltimore Ravens have to keep this guy, or they can just go ahead and write their fans and say, you know, we just can't do it, but we're not looking forward to moving back into the Super Bowl.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, Sonia wanted to talk about Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. I wanted to talk about his pitiful and absolutely just horrendous combine performance. Now, I have a question. Does anybody out there think that he gets drafted, or do you think he's a Marcus Vick and somebody will bring him in for a training camp, and as soon as he gets his parking ticket, they're going to can him?
I don't know. What, Tarvin, what do you think?
Well, I think the guy's, you know, a phenomenal athlete, and I really do think everybody deserves, you know, two, three, four chances sometimes. To say this guy doesn't deserve a chance to play in the NFL, I'm not going to do that, because I think he's one of those kids that knows how to find the ball, knows how to just make big plays. He's a blessed kid when it comes to sports. I think somebody's going to gamble on him, and I think they're going to have a great player on their team, whether he plays special teams, kick return or something, he will spark a team. So he's one of those people, sleepers in this draft that I'm going to call, because he can make a huge impact. So I'm going to give him a chance, guys.
Yeah,
so
watch Dallas pick him up.
I'm picking him up.
Watch Dallas pick him up and market that dude. Somehow figure out a way to make that work. Jerry Jones may not be a great GM, but I think he can market the guy.
Well, if Dallas picks him up, they're going to market the whole Morris Claiborne and Tyrann back again. LSU was all over again. But, you know, I think Mateos, you know, the Honey Badgers, stock hurts because of them moving the kickoffs up. And if they get rid of the punt game, like they've been talking about for a couple of years now, there's no need for Honey Badgers. There's no need for Devin Hester's, Josh Cribbs. Those guys will be phased out. You're getting rid of jobs. So I think, you know, Honey Badger, you know, Tyrann's best bet would be to go to a team like San Francisco or New England, where they can, you know, they have you on lockdown. They can groom you, and he could turn into an Ed Reed type ball hawk and safety. I'm not saying he's going to hit like Ed Reed, but I mean, boy can go get the ball. As Tarvin said, boy gets the ball. He finds a way to get that and run, and that's a nose for the ball is a great asset to have. It's an amazing thing. Not everybody has it.
And you can't coach that. You can't coach a kid. He either has it or he doesn't have it. And honestly, guys, he made a big mistake at LSU several times, but you can't throw people away, especially when they're in college, unless they, you know, rob somebody, beat the crap out of them like what happened a few weeks ago. I mean, this guy smoked some pot, whatever. I mean, he deserves another chance. I mean, he's not been in violent crimes or anything, but some people throw these kids away too early. Now, if he's in the NFL doing this, Sonny, you know, I have more of a problem. He's a grown man, but being in college, you're a kid, you get all that fame and hype. Sometimes it goes to your head, and you make the wrong choices. Look at Michael Dyer at Auburn. Great running back, MVP of the national championship game, and he's at a Christian school right now trying to get his life back together. So I'm a big Honey Badger fan, so I'm hoping he gets it back together. And, Sonny, do you think he will?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just I think someone will give him a shot. What he's going to actually bring to the table, that will depend upon the team's needs. I think there are certain teams out there that have the need that he can fill. I'll just leave it on that. I don't like a guy who's been on a shelf for a long, long time. And I'll say this, and I hate to say it, because usually once you get there, it's hard to get out of there. But this guy would benefit from an IFL. He would benefit from an indoor game, possibly Canada. He would get a good benefit of get some reps and getting to speed. And more so than being as gone for as long as he has, that's about where I'm at.
Let's go have him play for Toronto, do the Ricky Williams treatment. I mean,
there
they allow pot up there.
There you go.
I think there's definitely a place for him in the NFL. Tarvin's 100% right. There is a place. It's just finding the right team that can take. And I really, really, really do think New England's the best situation because we had Aqib Talib in Tampa. We loved Talib, just like we loved Tanard Jackson, too. Two great players. Tanard kept getting busted for performance-enhancing drugs, and Talib couldn't stay out of trouble, whether it was, beating the crap out of a taxi cab driver to shooting at his sister's boyfriend. And I don't fault him for that. I would have done the same thing. When your sister's boyfriend's beating on you, you got to handle that. But, New England's the best place. They turned Talib into a playmaker at the end of the stretch. I mean, I trust Belichick with anybody,
once
especially
Randy
Moss.
Always a smoker.
Yeah, that's funny. What's a smoker? Hey, guys, I'm going to bring Sonia in. I think Sonia's on the line wanting to weigh in on this. What's up, Sonia?
Sonia.
Hold on. Sonia, are you there? My studio is just a little slow tonight for some reason. It's taken seconds to get people in. So, Sonia, I'm sure you've experienced that here lately. Sonia,
oh,
you there?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey,
guys.
What's up, Tarvin?
What's up? The angry girlfriend and I wanted to weigh in on the Nutty Badger.
What's up?
All right, look at here. Homeboy,
yes,
look,
ma'am.
We know at LSU he had at least three chances. That's what we know of because, there's always those that you don't know about. All right? Then mm-hmm. he gets kicked off the team. Gets caught in the apartment, all of that stuff happens. He goes into rehab, checks out after a day or a week or whatever it was. His big opportunity to show everybody that he's really serious about change was this combine.
Mm-hmm.
He talks before. He's like, oh, I've been working out. I've been conditioning. I've been staying in shape. He does all this stuff, and he shows up and sucks. He doesn't suck. He sucks. Okay, who did 4 reps on the bench press? Average is 22. So,
Eric, I'm weak and I did 4.
Thank you. My point
Sonia.
Believe me, I really want this kid to succeed. I really do. I read about his personal history and things he's gone through. I want him to succeed. But if I am a team and I'm looking at building my team and I need good players, if you weren't ready for the combine. I mean, does that mean that I'm going to have somebody assigned to you throughout your NFL career to make sure that you're supposed to do? You got to show me that you really wanted this. And to me, he blew his opportunity. He could have come in and been the start of the combine, but he did not do that. That shows me that he's not focused. Now, will that happen eventually? Will some team get him? Yeah, they will. But how long before he's a bust?
Well, good point also. You know, say what you want. He showed, no showed. He had nothing. He had nothing to offer in the combines. And I'm telling you, it was a joke in the chat room, but it's once a smoker, always a smoker. And I want to tell you also, it slows you down. You hear the jokes about if you're on marijuana, you drive real slow, okay?
That's right, Sonny.
There's a reason for that. It's because it slows down the motor skills and everything else. And if he is still smoking and toking it up, which wouldn't be a great big surprise to me because of his performance in the combine, how the
Sonny,
heck is he supposed to handle an NFL play at regular speed?
All right, Sonny, explain this to me then. Because back in the day in the NBA,
Jason,
all of them smoked weed. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I didn't see any drop-off in the NBA. All of them smoked weed.
You just seen him falling asleep on the bench, and a ball would start.
Chamberlain smoked
cigarettes.
Sonia, I do want to talk about the bench press thing. Maybe that's the average if you throw in linemen and D linemen, but I'm looking at defensive backs. I've included safety and corners here for the bench press.
Uh-huh.
I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six guys had 22 or more reps. Most of these guys were sitting in the team. So for him to throw up a 4 as a cornerback, I don't even think he was the worst performer, which is sad enough to say. But you got to give him respect for even doing it. I mean, I bet you he hasn't worked out at all. He's probably just been doing conditioning.
Yeah, okay, I'll send him a cookie for that one then.
Yeah.
Here's what I told Tommy the other night.
He's
only good at lift ounces.
Yeah, I bet you he would put some weed on the end of that
bench. Yeah,
he would have went 30.
Maybe that's what they needed to do in the 40 is put that little weed on one of those sticks and move it forward like when
that's
the dog
right,
chases
tied to his
the
head.
Rabbit.
his reps are 1...
No, but seriously, though, for getting all the other stuff, and again, I am on his side. I do want him to succeed, but it's just to me, if you know that you've already got black marks against you, okay, it's not like you're coming in and you played on the, you played on the LSU 2011-2010 team. You know, it's like, dude, come on, you didn't play at all. You've gotten in all this trouble. You got black marks against you. You know you're already swimming upstream. You've got to make sure you bring it. That's my thing. It's like, dude, are you serious? Come on now. You know, I'm expecting to read all this stuff from the reporters and stuff about him on the combine. Like, you know, he came in and showed out. And it's just, oh, wow. Well,
guys, he is, though, about 160 pounds. So he's a real small guy. So we don't expect him to lift 225 20 times.
Oh, I could pick him up. I'm 6 foot and 160, so, you know, he's what, right under 5'9", like a hair under 5'9"?
Yeah,
5'8". I know he's in much better condition than I am, and I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying, overall, you've got to show some dedication, and if this was his opportunity to show all of those NFL scouts, look, I'm here, ready, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I want to give you 100%. And, you know, he just blew it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So
I'm just saying, you know, anything
he needed to hire Matt Foley, okay? You know, the motivational speaker on marijuana on Saturday Night Live, that big fat guy who lives in a van down the river. That's where he missed out on the whole thing.
I just wanted to weigh in on that and see what you guys are saying and say hello.
All right.
Hello,
Sonia. Definitely
nice
to hear from you, Sonia.
Hey, I cannot let Sonia and Jason go right now because there's something big happened last night in the
NCAA
basketball.
Wait, I gotta say it. Oh, Golden Gophers!
All right, here
Gophers.
Here's my theory.
A losing record in the Big Ten, guys.
Here's my theory.
East Indiana.
They got embarrassed by Iowa. They got embarrassed by Ohio State. And I watched the Ohio State game, and I literally watched Tubby have his head down the entire game. After that game, he went into that locker room, called them a bunch of quitters, and to prove me wrong.
and they proved them wrong by beating Indiana. But I honestly, I mean, they gave up on the season. I mean, I watched those two games, Iowa and Ohio State, and I thought they were done. I thought we were going to get our ass kicked. But I didn't watch the game, so apparently I shouldn't watch the game, and they'll win.
Well, Jason, I looked at, you know, Minnesota after the game. You know, it was a great win. Those guys look like a tournament team. And so looking at them now, they have a good record except in their conference. I think they're a game under 500. Do they get into the tournament if they, you know, win a couple games here at the end of the season and do okay in the tournament, the Big Ten tournament?
I think what it boils down to, they'll win out the remainder of the – they play Penn State, Purdue, and God, who's the other one? Someone else. But if they'll win out the next games – if they have a decent showing in the Big Ten tournament, they'll make the dance.
Oh yeah, Nebraska. They that's who they play in Nebraska. So
Jonathan, Nebraska,
are you impressed with that win? Are you
impressed
with that win last night at home against the Hoosiers?
Yeah, no, I was impressed.
You.
I mean, you know, the barn is a tough place to play. I mean, I won't lie. I mean, that raised floor is intimidating. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a wait and see for me because, you know, hands down, I think Minnesota, of all the Big Ten teams, probably had the toughest schedule out of any of them. Tarvin, I mean, they had some really, really bad losses. That's what I can't get over. And they had a really bad streak there for quite a while. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. They're a bubble team, so, you know, it's a wait and see. I mean, this is going to be a fun March Madness because there isn't truly a number one dominant team. I mean, I think a lot of those number one seeds are going to get nervous when they're playing a number nine seed and see who they're playing and say, oh, my God, we got to play who? So.
We'll just go down the
Jason.
Hole.
Yeah, we'll just go down the hole.
We'll just go down the hole.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask. I'm looking at Minnesota. I'm looking at the schedule, and you guys went on a tear between Thanksgiving with that win against Memphis. You know, after that loss to Duke, you went on a tear until you played at Indiana. And you know, I have a huge question, which is, you lost to Indiana, then you lost to Michigan. Okay, you lost to two teams, both ranked number five at the time, in a 5-day span. Do you think the team, those two losses broke them and they believe in their own hype, especially going at Northwestern and getting shut down and then losing at Wisconsin? I mean, do you think they believe their own hype and that's the reason why they went on that 4-game tumble?
Exactly, because I was actually talking to Bodie today at work, and that's what I told him. I said they went through this non-conference schedule and basically just blew through it. I mean, they got up to ranked even to, I think, number eight as their highest. Then they got into conference play and got smacked. And then self-doubt, like you said, set in, and they probably had an oh, crap moment, and then they started believing that they weren't that good, and it just trickled on. I don't know. I mean, you know, the Indiana win is great. It's what they can build on it. You know, for all I know, they could come out flat the next game. I don't know. I mean, there's a big question mark because of that skid. I mean, maybe this was the kick in the pants to where they start believing in themselves again. We'll see. I mean, I hope so. But, yeah, you're exactly right, Jonathan.
I mean, I look at your guys' losses. You guys lost to Duke. You lost to Indiana. You lost to Michigan. You lost to Wisconsin. You lost to Michigan State. You lost to Ohio State. All ranked teams, all really good teams. You lost to Illinois, who's one of those teams where you're like, well, I can see it because Illinois gets hot, they get hot.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the
exactly.
The loss to Northwestern and the loss to Iowa are so disgusting that I get sick even looking at the score.
Oh, yeah, no, I actually watched the Iowa game, and Sonya watched me turn it off because I was so disgusted.
Yeah. I feel bad. It was
that bad, and I was like, I can't believe that I'm watching this. You know, it's – I don't know. I mean, just look at tonight, though. I mean, Michigan loses to Penn State. I mean, that's what the Big Ten is this year. It's like Penn State's first
conference
this year.
It's like the Big East in years past is what it's looked like. It's just smacked from top to bottom.
You know, and it's like, you know, we beat Michigan State at home, and then we get pretty much trounced, you know, at Michigan State. I mean, Big Ten is just at any given day, I mean, it's that even. It's a tough conference. I mean, I would venture to guess the Big Ten right now is the toughest conference in college basketball right now.
It is. And guys, I'll tell you this right now, looking at, you know, the tournament, the bubble teams, Jason, Minnesota has to win a couple more conference games. They have to get at least a 500. You can't look at a team in a conference and be below 500. But what the good thing is, the Big Ten's strong. But really that committee looks at, what have you done for me lately?
I think what benefits us, Tarvin, is even if they didn't have at least a 500 conference record, I think a lot of weight would be put on the non-conference schedule they played and those wins. So it kind of balances out. But that's why I said they have to show strong in the Big Ten tournament. They got to win out and show strong in the Big Ten tournament to make the dance. That's what it boils down to.
I mean, they have to win out, and they're going to have to win. I'm not saying win the Big Ten, but they're going to have to win at least a game in the tourney. That'll put them at 23 wins. And at 23 wins for Minnesota, you can't turn them down. I mean, we talked about Alabama Sunday night, Tarvin. If Bama gets to 20 wins, you're not going to tell them no. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, and you know, and I hate to bring this up to you, Tarvin. I hate to throw it in your face, but guess who lost last night? Guess who lost?
Yeah, but their best player was out. Their best player.
Oh, my goodness. Don't give me that.
Hey, I have to make an excuse every now and then. Now, you have to have a reason, you know, for being wrong. But look at Florida. Yeah, you know, Kentucky, I was on their bandwagon early. I had to jump off it. I jumped on Florida's bandwagon. Now I'm having to jump off of it. I don't know whose bandwagon I'm about to jump on now. It might be Alabama's. I don't know.
There you go. Come on, Tarvin. We'll take you.
Hey, Tennessee looked good last night.
They're hot right now.
I don't know. I mean, that's why I said this March Madness is going to be fun. I mean, this is the first time people are going to look at their brackets and go, WTF. let's roll the dice, and I'll just close my eyes and throw a dart because I think it's that hairy scary. What happened to Syracuse? Because I was really big on Syracuse. They impressed me, and then all of a sudden they did like Minnesota, took a nosedive. So I don't know. I don't know if it's fatigue. Yeah, I just don't get it this year.
I 100% agree with Tarvin. This year is so wide open. I mean, I'm right now. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little cheating. I'm on ESPN right now looking at the standings. The American East has four teams, you know, who are at the top of their, you know, you got 21-6 Stony Brook, 29 Albany. The Atlantic 10, nobody wants to talk about the A-10. St. Louis, VCU, Butler, LaSalle, and you can even squeeze in Temple. That's a scary group right there. I would not want to play them. And I wholeheartedly believe Miami's overrated. I think if Duke gets Kelly Black back, they'll be all right. But until then, I think Duke's not going to do it. I don't trust anybody from the Big East. I never trust Kansas. I'm not that dumb. I still remember Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa.
I mean, I'm looking at Memphis. Who didn't love that game? I'm looking around, and I'm telling you right now, a team to watch, and I brought this up Sunday night, and everybody laughed, Akron. Akron's 12-0 in conference. They're 22-4 overall. That's a team to watch. Mercer is another team to watch because Mercer's not afraid of anybody. They don't care if you're Duke or if you're, you know, a bunch of five-year-olds. They'll smash you. Look, I mean, this is going to be the best tournament we've had in years, and I'm just hoping we have a couple buzzer beaters because we didn't have any last year, and I felt like I was going to withdraw.
Yeah, I think the thing with Miami is they got no tournament experience, and I think that's going to hurt them.
That's going to kill them.
Well, Miami's problem was these are the same players from last year. It's just they're more disciplined this year. I mean, last year everybody was getting in trouble. Everybody was getting suspended. I watched it firsthand, and I watched them play Florida State. You play them tough, and all I'm thinking is, crap, 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 okay, we pulled it out. Thank God for Michael Snare and his miraculous game-winning threes. But Miami is a team. They don't have the experience. I don't think they're going to have the discipline to go somewhere. If they go to Atlanta, I have a feeling they're going to get somebody suspended. You know, a place like that. Their guys are too young, too experienced, and too much trouble. You know, great coach, but I don't know if he can reel them in. This isn't George Mason. You know, this is Miami. This is the U. LeBron and Dwayne Wade are coming to cheer them on, you know?
Yeah, you know, it almost feels like to me because, I mean, I grew up watching, you know, back in the golden days with, you know, when the Big East was strong and, you know, the Mullins and the Patrick Ewings, the St. John's mm-hmm. and all that. And I really blame it on the lack of talent on the one-and-done rule. Because if you look historically
yes.
at, and this is true about the Big Ten, what makes the Big Ten so strong right now is you have a lot of sophomore, juniors, and seniors. Kids that have stayed with the program and not bailed for the NBA. You know, you look at Kentucky right now, you know, the one-and-done killed them.
I think
you know, imagine if Carmelo stayed a couple of more years and imagine that team had he stayed and some of those players.
I mean, just look at Butler. Nobody at Butler leaves early except for who? I think Hayward left his sophomore year. You know, I mean, that's a team that they gel. Same thing with Gonzaga. These are, you know, I believe for the NCAA, there should be a mandatory rule across all sports that you have to stay for your AA. If you don't leave after you get your AA, after 2 years, you have to stay till you graduate with a bachelor's. I don't think you can walk around that. You have to get a degree. You need a fallback plan because some of these kids don't think about that. A guy like Daniel Horton.
I think you should be – you have to be past your junior year. I mean, I think you should stay until you're a junior. I mean
– Yeah, I can't argue with that. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, the big argument is, well, it's not like football because it's not as tough. It's not about that. It's more of development. You know, I just think it would warrant to have these kids stay in school. And I think it would just make the league, you know, better as a whole. I mean,
maturity.
I used to be able, you know, to, you know, gel with these players and get to know the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the point now where it's like, who plays on that team?
mm-hmm.
You know? And
it's
sad.
Yeah, Jason, that's a good point because looking at basketball, you have to really, really study to know who's playing on what team. Look at Kentucky. I mean, every year they're losing their entire starting five, and you have to learn another starting five. But hey, if you start making these kids stay longer, I mean, if you're good enough to make money, that's your trade. If you're good enough at 18 years old to play in the NBA, go for it. If you're good enough at 18, 19 to go to the NFL, go for it. I don't like the double standard. I don't like college football making you stay till you're a junior, and I don't like college basketball just 1 year. Let's make it the same overall, no matter what it is. Let's make it consistent because I don't like these different rules for college basketball football.
I look at Cody from Indiana. He'll probably leave for the NBA this year. He needs to stay another year.
He's not a freshman,
though. I don't think he's enough. I mean, I just
yeah.
don't. But, you know,
hold
you're right.
Guys. Hold on, guys. It's Quinn. Are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's
Quinn.
Up, buddy? What are you doing? What's going on? What do you have for us tonight?
Hey, Quinn.
First, I wanted to talk about that. The Manti Te'o and the combine.
Sorry. We're over it. It's invisible now, Quinn.
Okay.
It's a hoax.
You gotta give Quinn his props though. You
What's
gotta
up,
let him say fish and say, "That's
What's
my
up,
baby." You go ahead,
right.
Quinn. I'm gonna take
well,
over.
What I was going to say is I think it'll probably take him a couple years to develop into a good player, but I thought he was faster than a 4.8. I couldn't believe he was that slow. I mean, that's something he's really going to have to work on is his speed and his tackling. He'll probably have to get better, too. He's he got pretty – he got decently well at coverage, but how he couldn't tackle in the national championship game is a concern, and then his speed needs to get up. And then about this March – and then about college basketball is yeah, I think it's going to be crazy in March. I just hope Notre Dame can pull out a win or two in this tournament, since they've gotten, like, first-round exits, like, every year.
Yeah, one and done sucks.
Yeah, it does.
One and done. So, Quinn, you're a big who do you support in basketball right now?
I support the same teams as I do in football. I support Auburn and Notre Dame.
Auburn.
I applaud you.
Come on now, Auburn doesn't even have a basketball team this year, Quinn.
I know. I don't think they've had one in a while, Tarvin.
I know. It's depressing. I can't stand any more 30-plus point blowouts watching it. I'm just tired.
I think Tarvin can get away with saying that.
I'm tired of the whole basketball thing, guys.
Hey, yo, Quinn.
Yeah?
I got a question for you. Did you watch Notre Dame's triple overtime game against Cuse a couple weeks ago? I mean, Louisville a couple weeks ago. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I was watching it. It's crazy.
How stressed? I don't know about you, but I hit my threshold a while ago in that game. About the second overtime, when I realized it was going to go four, I lost my mind. Where did you about lose your mind in that game and nearly turn it off?
Well, I actually, with like 46, like with the minute left when Notre Dame was down like nine, I flipped the I think I either flipped the channel or I wasn't paying attention, and I'm like, well, they're done. I think I just wasn't paying attention to the game. I look up, and it's an OT, and I'm thinking, what happened? And I heard Grant went on a 12-point run in the last 46 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, well, this is crazy. So then I started paying attention to it again. And they ended up winning.
So, guys, I have a question for everybody involved here. Do you think we can get a game like that in the tournament?
Ooh. I think you'll have at least a dozen of them.
A dozen?
All right, Quinn, what do you think?
I like that.
I think there could be a couple, because this is going to be crazy, and a lot of these teams are going to be, I think a lot of this talent this year through a handful of teams, maybe even, I'd say even the top 25, a lot of those teams, if they play well, a lot of them are on an equal playing level talent-wise.
So I'm looking at Joe Lenardi's bracketology right now, his bracket predictions.
Yeah.
And this involves Quinn and Jace. They have 6-seed Notre Dame going up against 11-seed Minnesota in Austin for the Midwest region. I want to hear from Quinn first. State your case on why Notre Dame beats Minnesota.
Well, they have probably one of the best guard duos in the league with Atkins and Grant. And then Cooley is a big guy that can get rebounds. And then they have Knight who's actually getting a lot better. And then they have August on the bench who can come in and get to 9 or 10 rebounds. So I think if Notre Dame plays consistent, I think they could pull out that win if they played well.
What about you, Jace?
Okay, I think Minnesota will take it because Minnesota plays more physical. If you watch the Indiana game, Ibakwe pretty much pushed Cody around all game, and they're very physical. Also, you got to worry about the non-Hollis brothers. Both of them, if they're on, it's lights out. I just think they're more physical. I don't think Notre Dame's sizes up with them, and I think they're going to get pushed around.
I honestly don't think those two will get matched up. This bracketology gets mixed around so much. With Minnesota beating Indiana, they'll get moved up. And then if Notre Dame can beat Marquette on Saturday, then Notre Dame will get moved up.
I think what's going to be different this year is I'm really used to, like, all the March Madnesses I've ever watched. I'm so used to Big Ten teams getting in and being one and done. I think this year is a little different. I think a lot of those teams that are going to make the dance are going to go deep into it. But, again, it all depends on who they match up with. And until they announce it, I mean, it's really hard to say.
Guys, I'm going to go back a little bit on the question before about how many buzzer beaters, kind of games, exciting games at the end we're going to have. That first round alone, we have, what, 32 games?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say 10 of them are like that. This is going to be the best tournament that we've probably ever seen because of what y'all all been talking about. There's no dominant number one team. And another question, guys, who's the number one? Jason, I'll start with you. Who's the number one team when this new week comes out since everybody's losing up top? Who's it going to be, Gonzaga?
No, Indiana stays at number one. It doesn't affect them.
It should affect them. That was a terrible loss.
I don't think it will. I really don't. I think Indiana stays at number one. The loss to Minnesota I don't think was that damaging. Gonzaga, God, I mean, they had that one bad loss, but other than that, they've been destroying people. I mean, they scare me. I would not want to play Gonzaga early on in the tournament. That would be one team I would not want to face.
The best coach team probably in basketball right now is Gonzaga, and nobody's even talking about them. You see them in the polls because of what they've done, but Jonathan, really, have you heard about Gonzaga this season, really? I mean, they're under the radar, even though they're as high as they are.
Actually, SVP and Rosillo talk them up like a storm. I mean, they're getting some airplay. I mean, they're not getting ignored. I mean, and every year, Gonzaga goes deep into the tournament, so it's not like they're an unknown.
You know why people ignore Gonzaga? I'm going to tell you why right now. Because every year in the tournament, you look at them and you're like, ooh, that looks like a great team. They could get it done. And then they have the Adam Morrison year where all of a sudden went from this is the best Gonzaga team ever to it was fun while it lasted. Look at Morrison crying. They get to the Sweet 16, but they can't get past it. They're not an Elite Eight team. They're not a championship team, it seems like, every year. I disagree with you, Tarvin, in saying Mark Few is the best coach, coaching-wise, you know.
I didn't mean it. I said they're the best coach. The way they're playing, the way they look when they play, they look like the best coach team. I don't think he's the best coach in college basketball.
I just got it. So, Jonathan, are you saying Gonzaga's like the UGA of basketball?
Ouch. No. I'm saying Gonzaga is like Florida State of the 90s.
Okay.
I'm going to take that shot at myself and say we're the Florida State of the 90s. We're the Atlanta Braves of the 90s.
Okay, and just so, and for any UGA fans listening, that was not a shot at your team, so don't even start with your hate and all your little snippy comments. What I'm saying is UGA will have
went
a great
there.
And they'll get there, and they it's just like they just can't get over that hump. So that's what I was asking. But anyway, back, because I'm just listening. My husband is the basketball expert. So continue.
I mean, I'm looking at Gonzaga, and I look at they lost to Illinois when Illinois was just on fire. And they lost to Butler at the buzzer because they had a stupid flare at the end of that game. So Gonzaga's a great team. Right now, I mean, I'm looking at won by 31. You win by 30, you know, 33. You're winning by 45. I mean, they're crushing teams, but at the same time, they're crushing teams that aren't going to sniff the tournament.
Correct.
This is that whole, and we do it in football, and you guys bring it up, and I'll still say no. This is that whole Boise State argument. It is. It's the Boise State argument. You're beating all these, the little sisters, but can you actually handle Big Brother? And we don't know with Gonzaga. I mean, they beat Oklahoma, they beat Clemson, West Virginia, Kansas State.
need, you know, but they haven't really met anybody other than, I'd say, Butler of a high-caliber opponent. So,
yeah, but if you watch
them
play on the court, though, Jonathan, if you watch them play, even though if you take away who they're playing, the way they play, these guys are good. And I'll bet anybody right now, if you want some, they'll be a Final Four team this year. They have what it takes.
But, Tarvin, here's what you have to remember, though. Gonzaga, they're a shooting team, okay? So, you know, I have this big thing, you know, and it even transpires into the NBA. You got a team that lights it up from 3 points, and I'll take, you know, for example, Orlando, when they had Dennis Scott. They lived on the three. If you have a cold night and shooting threes, you're going to lose. And you're going to lose early.
That's Illinois this year, and we've seen how far they've tumbled. That, you know, Orlando, what was it, 08-09, when they lost to the Lakers in the finals? It was all threes. Yeah, sure, we had Dwight Howard, but if it wasn't for J.J. Redick, Rashard Lewis, Michael Pietrus, Jameer Nelson, all those guys, it was a three-point shooting team, and when that team goes cold, you're done. There's no chance. And they are. Gonzaga's a finesse team. They're not a physical team. They don't have that physical aspect to them like a Butler. Like a Duke, you know, where Duke really, I mean, when they get Kelly back, that's a team inside and out that's tough. You know, Indiana's a tough team. It bothers me when you have all these players that are soft, but, I mean, I really do expect Gonzaga to finally get over that hump and make the push. I hope they do for their sake.
I think they're a little more balanced this year, and historically you'll see the teams that make it deepest in the tournament are the more balanced teams. I mean, they're not.
Oh yeah,
they're not totally one-sided.
I really want to see Elias Harris how he's going to do against big boys, because I mean he's already averaging 14.7 boards. You know, can Elias Harris continue his physicality? Can Olenek continue his physicality? I mean 17-7. I mean that's, and I really want to see Stockton Jr. You know, John Stockton's son's their point is one of their guards. I really want to see how he does everything. It's going to be fun to watch. That's my last comment on college basketball.
Yeah. Ooh. It'll be fun.
We're going to have to wrap up in a minute. We're going about 4 minutes. We're going to wrap it up. Quinn, any final thoughts?
Oh, I said another team to look out for is St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I would say that.
And then I think Butler will make another pretty big run in the tournament just because of their coach.
Yeah, I'm about
can't disagree.
Quinn, let's go back to St. Louis. Why do you like St. Louis?
They've just had a really good year this year. They've beaten VCU. They beat Butler twice. I mean, I think they just can make a good run.
They'll make some noise.
Oh, yeah, they're a team on a mission since their coach died. They're a team on a mission.
Yeah, but I'm telling you guys, I'm gonna pick this bracket. We'll do a show and we'll go through the entire bracket, and we can do it Wednesday night probably. Those first games don't matter. We can do a Wednesday night show, and we'll go through each one of us and we'll pick our games and we'll keep score. We'll have someone write down everyone's picks, and I'll do a bracket on CBS and send it out to everybody. But we'll see who can pick this field, because, Jason, if you pick this right, if you can get three out of the Final Four this year, you're a master.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm a homer. That's what always gets me in trouble.
Oh, man, that's okay to be a homer as long as your team's good. So I think Minnesota's a good basketball team. But I'm interested to see which teams are the bubble teams that are going to make it in. I'm still saying, guys, Alabama, I've been saying it all along, deserves to get in, and they will get in this tournament. They just the first thing they did last night was take care of an Auburn team. If they would have lost that game, bye-bye, Alabama. Hello, NIT tournament. But they took care of business. Now, I believe, Jonathan, do they play Florida this weekend?
Yes, they do.
If they win that game, they're in no matter what. I mean, it's almost a given. But if they keep, they have to keep it respectable if they lose, and they can't lose the remaining games after that. They have to win their home games and play Florida competitive and win that first round of the tournament. They're in, guys. Anybody disagree with that?
I
Nah. But if they get trounced by Florida by 20, then it's a question mark.
Yeah, exactly. Lacey says, and they'll lose the first round like last year, Tarvin. I'm not predicting them in the tournament once they get there, Lacey. I'm just predicting them to get there. So, great job tonight, guys. Great job coming on. Thanks, Jason, Sonia, Quinn, and Jonathan. Great co-hosting job. You did bring a lot of energy to me. I feel like a honey badger over here after smoking a few, how I feel right now. So, Jonathan, you brought a bunch of life to us tonight. Trey will be proud of you.
Well, Trey should be scared. I mean, I'm just going to take a spot.
Sounds
right,
like a challenge.
All right, Trey, you're listening right there. You have to prove yourself Sunday night. A competition, loser leave town match.
I
had to take some money on that one.
Celebrity
right
match. There
that'll
we go. I got one last funny thing to put in there. You know, if y'all watch baseball, you know the Milwaukee Brewers, they do the running of the sausages. Well, there's a $3,000 reward out there because the Italian sausage is missing. So if you have any idea where the Italian sausage mascot for the Milwaukee Brewers is, you get $3,000. Make that call.
There's so many places I could go with that, but this is a family show.
maybe Teo has it.
No, he's hiding in Auburn.
He needs a lump, buddy.
No, the Nutty Badger smoked it and Tail's girlfriend's got it. There you go. Bump.
Oh,
we are
well,
bad
guys,
people.
Guys, I wanted to talk about tonight, but we didn't get a chance, and we will Sunday. Is baseball coming up, and I don't know, Sonia and Jason, if y'all do fantasy baseball or not. Quinn, do you do it?
No, I don't.
Wake me up. What'd you say, huh?
I sometimes do.
Teo plays fantasy baseball.
Nah, Shawty. I can't do that one.
Right,
I don't do baseball. That's a Jason Minson thing.
Jason and Sonia, I'm going to take y'all to, we're going to go to a baseball game in Atlanta this year and watch the Braves. That sounds good to y'all. But I do love baseball. I just can't stand going to the games when it's 200 degrees in Atlanta.
Jason just answered for me. Hold on. Say it again, babe.
Good luck with that one. She'd go on a cruise before she goes to a baseball game, and she hates both.
But I'll
be
there
in
spirit.
Come on, Sonia. For me, please.
I'll think about it. How much money you got?
I don't know.
Who's going to be there?
I don't know.
Will there be drinking
involved? If you're ever in Atlanta, want to go to a baseball game, Jonathan and Quinn, give me a shout. We'll definitely go.
Hey, why don't we go to one in Tampa? It's inside. You'll get to see John Cena, Dick Vitale. Come to Tampa.
Oh, we get to hear Dickie BB.
Probably 10 people in the stadium, including me, right, Jason?
Hey.
Great show tonight, guys. And Tarvin, please tell Michelle we hope she feels better. I hear she's under the weather.
Yeah, she is, and my dog is a little hyper tonight, so he's having some fun. Well, Mama can't take care of him, so I'm trying to chase him around. He's a little too fast for me, though.
Uh-oh. Lacey said, will Derek Jeter be there?
Oh, yeah, the racing sausage has been found. It just got put on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, where was it, Quinn?
It was at a bar in Cedarburg, Wisconsin tonight.
Oh,
so somebody leave it to the
cheesehead.
The cheesehead stole the sausage. There's so much I could do with that. Okay.
If this wasn't a family show.
Yeah.
I got quite
a bit of snow here in Wisconsin these last 2 days.
Yeah, it sucks for you.
Yeah, it does, because I was the one shoveling.
Oh, see? Oh, that helped you out, though, Quinn. You know, build those bones. You know, those muscles in.
Muscles.
Do some muscles. All right, guys, we're out.
Have a good night.
Thanks so much.
Y'all.
We really enjoyed it. And great job.
Thank you all very much. Quinn, thank you, sir. Jonathan, great job tonight, buddy. I appreciate you taking the time tonight to co-host the show with me. Hope you had a good time. And thanks for talking a lot, because I really needed you to tonight, buddy.
Hey, man, I had a blast. Anytime you need me, I mean, seriously, I'll take Trey's spot.
Okay, definitely. Hey, happy birthday tomorrow, by the way. Don't forget,
thank you.
He likes $100 bills, so Jonathan, just put your address on Facebook on my message board, and we'll make sure everybody sends money your way.
Hey, you know, you want to send me a dollar, that's fine. I don't care. If Sonia wants to send me a cookie or two, you know, cookie, that'd be great.
All right. All right, Sonia, he wants a cookie. So Lacey, Brian Paul, Jason, Jimmy, Jonathan, Joshua, Lacey, Sonia, everybody, Sonny, Roger was in. There's some more I'm missing right now, but thanks, everyone, for listening and joining the show. We'll be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we got a big show in store for you guys. And if you like baseball, love baseball, or hate baseball, we're going to be talking some baseball. But don't worry, we're going to talk some football, too. We're going to throw that in. Maybe definitely some college basketball, Jonathan. So big show lined up. So if you like baseball, come on and test your wits against us. Give us your draft strategy, and we'll give you ours. So until Sunday night, have a great one. Trey, you're on the road. Be safe, bud. And we'll see you back Sunday night, guys.
All right, nice night.
All right, night.